Hey, you. Subscribe. This is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
So, this is Radio Free Cybertron for February 6th, 2011, 12, 2013.
God, where did the time go?
Wow. So, on the show this week, we have J.D. Church, Rob Clay, Don Ferguson is back, and hey, XV.
Yo.
So thanks to Computron 2 in the chat, who implored us to start, because he had no idea what we were talking about.
It's a boring show, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because they were talking about Minecraft, and I have no idea what that is. I wanted to start, because we actually started talking about the fact that there's nothing on the shelves. And, you know, I've gone to a couple of Walmarts where there's literally nothing.
Hey, you know, yesterday, seriously, I went to Walmart, just a grocery shop, and I'm like, I'll check the toy aisles. And there's literally, like, an eight-foot section. What's up with that, Doc? 8 foot of nothing.
Generally, what's happened is that they've broken our modular relays and resets up into two parts. The second part is mostly mail action. Hot Wheels and things like that, because the product has not come in yet.
What product are you waiting on?
Anything that's not Monster High. If it's not Monster High, girl-related, Easy Bake, activity-related, or outdoor play school, it hasn't come in yet.
So it's not like it's just sitting in the back and no one wants to stock it.
There's literally nothing. There. Yeah.
It was amazing to me. Like, I'm literally looking at it. I mean, I may be exaggerating. It was at least a 4 foot section of nothing. I mean, pegs that said Transformers and nothing. Not even like, you know, normally when we say there's nothing on the shelf, we mean like there's like shelf warmers, you know, or like a box. Open and then repacked.
Or there's nothing there, and there's shelf tags telling you what will be there.
Well, and there were shelf tags, but I mean...
But the shelf tags don't have anything new on them.
But there was no figures. Like, actually, I think on the wrong side of the aisle, there was maybe 3 bot shots, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, now, one thing is, when you look at those tags, look at the date, just because the new tags will have a more recent date. So those could be old tags that they're using to fill up empty spots. So, I mean...
Good to know.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just the fact that, like, today I was at Target and I found this today.
Which
is a remold. It's a remold of the Bumblebee battlesuit for Breakdown. And there's also a Jet, if I can find the cross-cell picture... The Skyclaw, which is a Visionary's name for a Visionary's jet, with the Legion class smokescreen.
Huh.
This is the first new thing I've seen since the early January.
I mean, there's been stuff at like Toys R Us, but Walmart, nothing.
So we're getting Visionary's characters, right?
Yay. Well, we have in the past because Cryotech. The blue Ice Dragon recolor of Transmo 2 Megatron was a Visionary's character. My favorite one.
When are we getting like Hooker and Augur and characters like that from Inhumanoids?
Hooker, for sure.
I want a Transformer named Hooker.
Well, if they redo like a grapple, you could have maybe.
Oh, I was thinking about that. So if there was a third party grapple, and. In the vein of like Hard Bone and Grind Rod, what would he be called?
No. I want to.
I'll take.
There's.
He'll be great if you had
call
a
him like Hand Jobber or something.
I've been thinking about that.
You need a medic character called Hooker with like the hook hand.
Scrapple, that's pretty good.
You know. Yeah. No.
So
coat hand finger.
No? Okay.
So we're it's sort of an interesting time here. We're coming off a high where last week was our third party roundup. It's like the biggest month that we've ever had for third party toys. Scaleface had pointed out that as of late there have been like 2 third party toys released per week on average, which is insane. And next week is Toy Fair, and there's so much going on there. This is sort of like a contraction. there's not a lot going on, but there are a couple of really interesting pieces of news. Well, at least one really interesting piece of news as far as I'm concerned. So did you guys, I guess you have.
Is this the thing, the thing that we've seen the test color for?
No, this is the, I don't know. Have we? It's a Target exclusive Beast Hunters Abominus.
Yeah. Yeah. See, okay. I'm pissed. All right, because somebody Hasbro listens to this show, and they're like, JD said he's not going to buy any Beast Hunters. JD likes Cyberverse, and JD likes Combiners. Let's make a Cyberverse Combiner, and then he'll have to give us his money. And y'all might have to give him my damn money for a Beast Hunter.
And it's freaking Abominus, so we get a Blot. Sure, his name is Blight, but that's close enough.
And it's like the set. It's not even like a joke, you know, sort of like we're calling this Abominus, but it's really something else. No, it's like Sinner Twin, Let Throw. I mean, it's the set.
It's gorgeous. I want this really bad. XV, even you have to like this.
What?
Because you said that.
Well,
despite the fact that it does.
And here's something else. Have you all noticed how we're getting a lot more surprises now and not the multi-weeks ahead? Like, maybe they're cracking down on the lunchbox specials sneaking out the back or something. But, you know, this breakdown set that I found today, I never saw an early picture of that. This Terracon Abominus came out of nowhere.
Well,
and that's good because we're surprised more.
Usually they leak like one or two things, and that's kind of what I took this as, is like an early leak for, you know, a Toy Fair thing.
Well, but, and I think at Comic-Con they did show the early photos of the new Cyberverse vehicles.
Yeah.
So it's not like those were unheard of before they hit the shelves.
Not widely.
But no, I mean, I get what you're saying, though. We're not seeing like test shots and stuff coming out as much anymore. Which, I mean, I think that's great that they're able to keep stuff under wraps more now.
Yeah.
Although, I have to admit, I did get used to that early peek at, okay, so this is what I can expect to see later, and then either decide that I'm not that interested or, you know, start saving money because I'm poor.
But, yeah. But now, literally, breaking news is back to being breaking news. This just showed up from Hasbro or Takara or whoever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Something I want to point out about this is that if you look at the picture, it says new colors for existing tooling, and we are getting at least Hunger and Twin Strike in assortments as far as we can tell.
Yeah, there's going to be individual releases for those two and probably the other three also.
Yeah,
so the individual releases are going to be the G1-inspired colors or probably the box set.
Yeah. Although, considering that the you know, picture of Abominus itself was grayscale, it may be that those were the individual releases in color, and then the box will have slightly different colors.
Yeah, maybe.
I really want this. I cannot wait.
Bastards. They are bastards.
I just wish that it was at least like Cyberverse Commanders instead of Legion, so the combiner would be taller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because as it is, it's probably just going to be about the size of a large deluxe.
Well, it's going to be, I'm thinking it'll probably be, what, similar to, like, the Devastator.
But not ass.
I never had that Devastator, so I don't have
a
concept.
Oh, it's great, dude. I
don't care for it. Never have, never will.
I like it.
Yeah. I didn't get it. It's a bit larger than a deluxe, so. Of course, it was made up of, what, 7 Legion figures in that
seven.
Case?
7 Legions, so.
Of course, in this case, it's 4 Legions and 1 Commander, I think. But
the Devastator was kind of squatting, too.
It wasn't necessarily, like, taller than a Deluxe, but it was much bulkier than a Deluxe was.
Yeah. Which may not be the case here.
No.
Because it doesn't look terribly
and
bulky.
And this is going to be bigger than those Creon combiners that hopefully we'll sometime get. like that I'm dying for.
Yeah, I mean, if you take Bruticus last year as a preview, it's kind of starting to look like 2013 is going to be the year of the combiner in official product.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing out the pattern is developing.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Mm-hmm. We've had combiners over the years, but there's just something about like the Energon combiners that just never quite clicked for me.
That's because they were kind of awful.
There you go.
Now, the Constructicon team was pretty decent. I think it was probably the last one produced. You know, the last one designed, so they kind of had the idea then, but the first two just were nuts. Not that great.
I mean, if it wasn't for the MicroMaster combiners that were reissued around that same time, I probably would have gotten very depressed. Because I love combiners as a concept.
I think you're thinking of the Combaticons, not the Constructicons. Because I had the Constructicons and they weren't great. The Combaticons were the only ones I never finished. I only got Barricade, who is in and of himself a great toy.
I was thinking of the car. I was thinking of a Build King, which was earlier. But Build King wasn't that bad.
It was an interesting concept, although Rail Racer was better overall.
I think Rail Racer was a better combiner, but inferior when it came, of course, to the individual components.
One thing, I was talking to Paladin about this last night, and I'm wondering if Hasbro is not picking these combiners because they want to send a message that we're doing this official product. You're not doing. I mean, they can still do it. I'm just saying. Now that they've done it, they did Soundwave, and one company canceled their Soundwave because of that. Now we've got an Abominus coming from Hasbro. Maybe they're using the combiner. They don't know that they've not seen any information on to keep the third parties from doing them.
Maybe I think in a lot of ways they're probably just doing this to keep their designers from getting bored. I mean, you know, they're fans. It's not like. As Transformers fans, like fan artists, they don't sit. Some do, but most of them like draw like a pre-existing characters. You know, like people that do third parties, they for the most part do pre-existing characters. It's because as fans, they like pre-existing characters, and making new characters, you know, it's fun, it's creative, but it may not be the reason that you got into like being a designer at Hasbro.
Yeah, I could see that.
Brian, go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, no, I was just saying, you know, yes, the Energon combiners are bad, but if you look at, like, what Fans Project did by adding Munitioner and Explorer and the Bruticus upgrade kits, you know, that's always going to be something. Whenever an official combiner is made, they can make better parts to make them.
That's great for the third parties, but Hasbro can't hang their hat on hoping that somebody, a third party, sells like a couple thousand units, you know, to, you know, like a couple thousand fans. I mean, that's not really like a business model, and it's not really something they can fall back on or hang their hat on. I mean, it's great, but, you know, they can't be thinking about that, nor should they. That would be kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Diecast mentioned in the chat he actually has a friend who got Twin Strike / Center Twin the other day, and the pictures in that slide are the individually carded release colors. So the box set may be something a little different.
Interesting.
Neat. What?
Maybe it'll be like Shattered Glass Abominus in Computron colors.
Oh my god, I would... God, I want that.
I wouldn't want that.
I have seen artwork that I think Pete or one of the guys did at the club. Abominus in Computron colors and vice versa is awesome.
Is it really?
Yes.
I just can't visualize that.
Well, just imagine Computron in Abominus colors.
That was easy.
it just makes your mind do, like, you know, inversions.
Okay, so I don't know if that's a good segue or not, but we got shots of the first BotCon 2013 exclusive. It's Hoist, and he is based off of Cup, and it's okay.
And not my favorite mold, but I can see where they're going with that.
Yeah. I mean,
exactly where they said they wouldn't.
Yeah, that's actually. Follow up on that,
and
Rob.
Apparently they're going to do Electro off of this too.
Okay. Well, when they were first announcing this, they said that we aren't just going to do, you know, modern versions of the original Machine Wars toys. And so when they decided which toy was the best one to show the public what they were doing with this, for their first picture release, they picked the one that is just a modern version of an original Machine Wars toy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Funny.
I love Machine Wars. You know what?
That's not really the point. Here,
I know. You know what I hope they make? I hope they do a Mirage based off Classics Mirage. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, okay. I mean, it'd be like the time they made a Blur out of Cybertron Blur, but had a new Blur head tooled for it instead of using the existing Blur head for Cybertron Blur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Of course, we could also get a Prowl out of that. And a Prowl out of that mold would be so not Prowl. But
see, that's the thing. That's exactly what they're going to do. You know, I mean, because that makes sense. Because they'll just make the Prowl the builder set.
So use Classics Mirage for Prowl.
Haven't they already? They've already used that mold for the custom. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Builder is in like troop builder, not like as in the custom class.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I was thinking that as far as the custom class, they've already used that mold.
Troop builder.
Actually, they could kind of make that work because they could just sell it like an auto trooper set.
Yeah. Right. It'd be another auto trooper set, like Prowl.
Yeah, that could actually work.
And people would buy that.
Probably.
Oh, also, one thing, it's possible maybe this was all they had available. Again, you know, I said this last show I was on of how Funpub needs to be hitting these points and not be making the mistakes 7 years in that they shouldn't be making. But again, there's a lot behind the scenes that we don't know about. So this could be what Hasbro wanted to show and what was ready to show based on legal and everything else. So that may be all they had to show.
You know, I don't see why there's any indication that this set isn't going to be exactly what they said it wasn't going to be, which is just going to be a mock-up of Machine Wars figures in modern mold. I mean, that's exactly what this is.
But, you know, they'll have some of their Wings Universe characters in there, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll
be packed in with characters that you actually want in the convention sets that you can buy when you're there.
And this is a I'm zooming into this. This I think this is a Photoshop, isn't it? These are usually Photoshops, yeah. So maybe the actual version will be a little more impressive, maybe.
I doubt it.
Based on what?
Hope? I don't know.
I mean, it is what it is, and it's the cup mold. I mean, there's not a lot of flash and flare to that mold. It's solid, but there's not a lot to it.
Brian, if you got that much hope, you need to be wearing a Blue Lantern ring because that's the only way that mold's going to get any better.
Oh, Don.
Wow. Yeah.
No, I mean, going by the head sculpt that they made for this, it looks like the intention's really to make Electro, and then they just kind of sidelined it over into being Hoist also. Because that's a much more Electro head than the Machine Works tow truck.
Yeah,
this is going to be the convention. This is going to be the one you have to put down the big bucks for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sad trombone.
Typically with Funpub, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. I mean, you know, on the plus side, Toy Fair is this coming weekend.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll be able to get to see a lot of neat things. We are doing a stream on Sunday starting probably 12:30-ish Eastern time, running till about 4 p.m. Eastern time, leading up to Fanboy Versus. I think we'll probably also do a stream on Saturday. We won't have any information, but it's just it's always fun. It's just it's a good time to get together and chat and talk about stuff. And then as information comes in, we talk about it. I know that we're going to talk with a couple of people that are at Toy Fair at the Hasbro event, and that'll be fun. But follow us on Twitter. Hopefully you already are at TF Radio or on our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio, or check out the TFormers.com homepage. And we'll have information about whether or not we are actually streaming something on Saturday. I think we probably will put something together, though. If nothing else, it's just fun. But we're going to have lots of information about what's coming in 2013. It's always our favorite thing each year because it's the most information about Transformers that we're going to get. At least for
usually the height of our enthusiasm for Transformers for the whole year.
Yeah, even
and that is going to be not a hard level to hit.
More so than even BotCon, because typically BotCon is a lot of stuff that's like way out than Toy Fair. Toy Fair is a little more immediate usually, but they still have stuff going all the way through the year. But it's a fun time, and we'll do that this weekend. So,
well, especially since hopefully we're going to be seeing more of the stuff with it being Generations year, so they've said. So. Mm-mm. It would be nice to see if that's going to be the case or what.
Okay, so in the chat, let me give credit here. Skellface had posted Shattered Glass, Abominus, and it actually works.
Yeah.
That actually works. I would buy that. I can't zoom into it. But let's see here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, I would buy that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, that works pretty well. Yeah, that, I want it.
That cutthroat looks awesome, actually.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I'm for it.
Can we get that in the B-Center set? That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, so awesome. Okay, let's see here. Anything else? I'm going to mention it. So, again, they're reiterating that Transformers 4 is not a reboot. But apparently, without Shia LaBeouf, it may not suck. So,
it's a not reboot, reboot of a reboot that's not a reboot, that's rebooting, but not rebooting.
Yeah. So there.
Sounds like reboot season 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome.
XB, I wouldn't give it that much credit. That's awful high. That's awful high praise to give something like that.
No, no, no. It could be good.
Go ahead.
When the hell did interest enter the chat?
Oh, it's all totally a thing now.
I don't get
it. It just ended awesome. Enter is totally a thing now. So expect that for a while.
So, let's see here. Hey, Rob, XV, are there any comic news this week? Any reviews or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, three books this week.
None. I mean, three. Sorry. Said the guy that runs the comic show.
So I guess later on in the show, here in a few minutes, we'll have that. Also in the show, we didn't have Transformers Rewind this past week. So we will have it this week. We have Madman's Paradise, which was a blast. I sort of held that one off for the whole month because that was far and away the best one. Such a great episode, and JD, of course, was wrong.
He kind of has a way of doing that.
Yes.
There are people like me that don't like season 3, I promise. Somewhere.
No, there's not.
Where?
Well, I do have issues with some of the episodes, but, not the season as a whole.
They may exist in the Shattered Glass universe, but not in this one, so.
Yeah, I imagine Shattered Glass season 3 was pretty awful.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we got the real season 3, so we're good.
Exactly right. It was probably like Voyager or something, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, maybe Voyager is a mirror, like, series of Star Trek that made it here somehow.
Janeway would have a beard.
Janeway would be better with a beard.
Janeway is a beard.
That's funny. Janeway would be better.
Didn't have a beard?
She would be better if she were Riker. I think so.
Janeway is a beard.
I don't know.
XB has our resident Riker fill-in, so maybe he knows.
Yes. So, and next week on Transformers Rewind, I don't know what episode it will be because we haven't recorded it yet, but I'm certain we'll have one.
We haven't even watched it yet, but we're going to record it soon. So that's what's really amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be the best. Probably need to plan that out for next weekend. So,
you're planning on recording a rewind soon, and you haven't even picked the episode that it's going to that you're going to watch.
Oh, I'm certain it's going to be an Energon episode.
I was going to have a suggestion.
What do you want to do, Don?
Do I really need to say it?
Say it.
He wants Rebirth.
I would do Rebirth, but that's not an Energon episode.
Yeah, we really need to kind of get some of the unused material, or we're going to run out of good stuff.
Yeah. No, here, let's see here. It's February. Let's say in March, we'll do Rebirth.
That sounds good.
Yeah, March Rebirth.
Okay. We should do it in April, though, April 1st. That'd be...
No, April 1st, I think, is going to be that Shattered...
GoBot?
No. GoBots would be great!
Oh, that is a
battle of the Rock Lords.
Oh no, that would be great. That would be great. Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah. So that would be awesome. Oh, that would be so awesome. But let's see here. We were going to do Dark Glass, I think, on April 1st.
Oh, that's right.
Because I was able to pull that I was able to find that episode on BitTorrent, and we were going to watch that episode and do that because people have been wanting to hear about that episode forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. I have the episode that everyone thought was unproduced. It was really produced and given only to me on BitTorrent by Scott McNeil himself.
Right.
I promised to hook him up with my cousin.
Scott McNeil, but as XV. Piloting XV.
XV. Okay.
XV is the beige lion.
That is the image. I will never get that image out of my head. Of an XV ripping his face off, having Scott McNeil's head with the cowboy hat on. Tearing the shirt off and then stepping down off the stilts.
So let's see here. So in 2010, we've talked about this before.
I'm sorry, if y'all have not listened to Fanboy as a Superhero Time, then you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea, but I do want to just recount, like, BotCon 2010, when, like, all the Hasbro people, all of the Hub people, and, like, a lot of us nerds all wound up at the same karaoke bar. In the resort, and just Scott McNeil was amazing. That was a blast. And Ender and I sang Rainbow Connection, and I screwed it up terribly.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun though. But Scott McNeil was awesome. So look for that on YouTube because I think Monzo put that up. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's out there.
Someone told me it was the reading Rainbow thing, not Rainbow Connection.
No,
yeah, that's why.
Different.
That's why I couldn't find it.
No. Ender and I did Rainbow Connection. Scott McNeil did some song by I forgot. Brain's not working. My brain hasn't worked for a couple of days. Years, possibly. Decades.
Ever since around the middle of 2009.
I don't know why. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a break. We will be back here in just a few minutes.
Warning: the following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books.
Okay, so first up this week is Rage of the Dinobots, or as it will be known this week, the Rage of Rob.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much bad going on here. It's not even funny.
We should probably qualify this with that Rob likes to draw.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're really into drawing, seeing people do it badly just makes you want to tear things.
Yeah, I'm one of those obnoxious people who has studied drawing for all these years but is not actually very good at it, you know, kind of like a film critic. But, you know, it's all in execution, all of it, because we have the problem that everything is done from it. You know, the whole issue focuses on this big fight between Grimlock and Sir Kett, who I'm pretty sure is going to end up being Ripclaw. And it's not done very well at all. The big thing is every panel is probably it's pulled out a little farther back than the picture of me you're seeing now, but not much. So you are in basically imagine watching, well, turn on what used to be Court TV, True TV, and look at any shaky cam video of a fist fight. That's the quality you're getting here. You can't tell what's going on. There is a panel. If you look at the review I posted to tformers.com, the sample page I used for the review shows the page I was talking about, where to actually figure out that Sir Kett was attacking Grimlock with her tail, I needed the dialogue balloon to tell me. I could not figure out that was what was going on.
Yeah, I agree. I saw the same page, and I read the dialogue much sooner than it ever occurred to me. Oh, she's supposed to be hitting him with her tail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And, you know, it's the same thing all the way through, and I am pretty sure that the big issue is that the artist was really, really pressed for time, because if you do it at this particular range, it spares you from having to draw an awful lot of hands and feet,
mm-hmm.
which also costs you clarity of action, which with a book-spanning fight scene, you really need.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm picky about these things, because like I've said, I've read enough books about how to stage fight scenes. I've read enough comics where the fight scenes are crystal clear and easy to follow that, yeah, this really needed to be done a lot differently and a lot better. The other panel that really kind of exemplifies the problem I have here is there's a panel where Sir Kett picks up Grimlock while she is in dragon mode and takes off with him, flies into the air.
Before I read you describing that in the review that you wrote, I had no idea that happened.
Oh, wow.
And I read the book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, if he had pulled back just a little bit more so we could actually see the whole two figures and the ground and actually have the other Dinobots there on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took me a while to figure out that background was the ground. And yeah, just pull back a little farther, give us a few more figures, give us the, you know, two main full figures that are the action here, and it would all have been clear and it would have looked great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's almost there, but like I said, he, you know, to pull these Rob Liefeld tricks, he had to be on such a really tight schedule.
Because nobody wants to be Rob Liefeld.
No, not even Rob Liefeld wants to be Rob Liefeld. And if you look at the first two books in Rage of the Dinobots, I have had some issues with them, but his fight staging, you know, has been pretty clear. I was able to follow everything that was going on in those.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that is a real virtue and a really good thing to do. It's just that here, at the biggest, most important fight in the book, yet it all kind of fell apart.
Mm-hmm. And to go back to what you were saying about how the artist may have just been really pressed for time, it seems like as the title has gone along, Grimlock's fallen farther and farther off model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, it's just another one of those things. He's very obviously trying to draw very angular shapes and very what should be basically precise machined shapes freehand.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it if you have the time. If you're in a hurry, it doesn't work.
No. No, I mean, basically what it feels like Grimlock's design through the book has gone through is the Generations toy crossed with G1 a little bit down to Action Master.
Pretty much. It's, yeah, so the next book is going to be the last one. It's obviously going to be another pretty big fight. I'm hoping that he has the time to really do this one right, because it could be an interesting and fun fight, but we're going to actually need to know what's going on.
That would certainly help.
Yes.
Okay, so up next we have Spotlight Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
Also known as, boy, this is a cool toy.
Yes.
Okay, so mainly what's going on in this book is Megatron trying to get through to Starscream,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of an odd angle to take when it's not so much kill Starscream for everything he's done wrong, but make Starscream want to be Starscream again.
Yes.
And it's vaguely disturbing how it goes about it, too.
Yeah, it is. And at the same time, the thing I thought was really interesting is we've seen, of course, many takes on the Megatron-Starscream relationship over the years. Many of them in disturbing in many different ways. Mm-hmm. But the thing I find really kind of interesting in this one is that Starscream's reaction to Megatron is basically... He sees Megatron as a parental figure. That's what I get from this.
Yeah, I would say.
You know, well, there's two ways to read begging to be punished, and I'd rather go with the slightly less creepy one.
I think they might be equally creepy, just in very different ways.
Well, true.
Or maybe not even very different ways. I just, never mind. But the other part of this seems to tie into the theory that's floating around right now, which is that these spotlights are going to be used as pack-in comics for upcoming toys, which may or may not be based on the primary characters.
I think it's a sound theory, especially since there's, you know, I don't know that there's that much reason for at this point in the book for Megatron to be a stealth bomber otherwise.
Well, that's just what he was rebuilt as in the previous ongoing series, in right where this takes place, like directly after. This comes almost immediately after issue 13 of the previous ongoing series.
Okay.
It kind of fills a gap between 13 and 14 in the Decepticon storyline.
Okay, I actually have not read a lot of the stuff that far back. So.
Yeah, so Megatron's been in this body for a long time. When you see him come back in Robots in Disguise, it's the remnants of this body that he's back with.
Ah, right, okay.
It's just hard to tell because, you know, most of it's fallen off.
Yeah.
But, you know, that'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I mean, it really reads, especially... the vehicular pursuit sequence in the book, it really reads like a toy commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems... It's very blatant and feels a little bit out of place compared to how the other spotlights were written.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure how I feel about that.
I understand. It's... Yeah, it's kind of odd.
But taking this in context with Robots in Disguise... Where the story's going right now, this issue feels like a good bridging point between issue 13 and 14 of that series, just to refresh the audience on what the dynamics of this relationship is, because it seems like it's going to be a very important aspect going forward.
Yeah.
And for people like you and me who don't really have a lot of the firsthand experience with the background of this continuity, it's really a helpful thing to do.
Yeah.
What do you think of the art in this?
I agree with what you said in your review that, you know, sometimes Nick Roche's faces don't quite work. They're just a little bit,
yeah.
You know, he draws a couple of very specific faces and they either fit the character or they don't.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I thought that his Starscream was really excellent here. It, you know, mm-hmm. It really But again, like you said, because the writer and the artist are the same person, you know, you get a real focus on how this is supposed to play out and what exactly the emotions are that you might not otherwise get.
I mean, you'd have to have really close communication between the writer and the artist to be able to get them on the same note for things like that. Otherwise, as long as the writer is a talented artist, which Nick Roche is, you know, it can be conveyed very easily the way it turned out. But no, I mean, some of the phases just seem so generic. They don't fit the characters. There's a couple of panels where it's like close face shots on Megatron, and it just looks like it's Overlord from Last Stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of takes you out of the moment because it doesn't look like who it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And then there are a couple of panels I thought where he looked very, very much G1 cartoon Megatron, but there's not a lot of consistency there in his face in this one.
Yeah, that's kind of an odd thing. You know, I mean, all the rest of the art he's done in this book has been great, and, you know, Last Stand really stood out for its art style. You know, these are the two main things I've seen his work in. But it's just, there's just little bits and pieces here that are taking me out of it a little bit.
Yeah. Though, on the upside, the chase scene works and I can follow it.
Yes. Yeah, and that's hard to do with, you know, vehicles.
Yes.
In static panels. Mm-hmm. In animation, that's easy to pull off. But to represent the motion and the fluidity of the movement across several still images like that, that's skill.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so finally the book everybody waits for every month.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 13 of More Than Meets the Eye, which, in contrast to last month's issue, was quite upbeat.
Yes.
And hilarious.
Yes.
So it's basically Lost Light's Day Off. Or, you know, More Than Meets the Eye, Hot Springs Planet Tenray. So Swerve recounts in a letter home about shore leave on planet Hedonia. And are you sensing a pattern with the way they're naming these planets?
A little bit.
Yeah. And without just telling everything that happens in the issue, it's really hard to summarize the events of the issue because it's like a lot of little vignettes that happen to intersect here and there. But it's just a lot of visual gags and, like, really common storytelling elements, but applied this way, it's really novel and entertaining, especially when they have to roll Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
But yeah, you know, it's one of those things that only a really good writer can do, which is take what could be a completely ordinary situation that told you nothing about anybody and tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least enough.
Yeah, I mean, to me it's one of the strengths of the way More Than Meets the Eye tells its story, where it's removed from the standard war elements. You know, even with Robots in Disguise, it's still like a Cold War situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's living peacefully together, but with More Than Meets the Eye, except for every once in a while, there's not big conflict going on. And then you get an issue like this where it really is a day off and you just see what these people are doing when they don't have anything else to do. And when you can do that the right way, that it gives you so much more about the character than anything else that you can portray them with.
Yeah. This may make it sound like a really stupid comparison, but of all the things that this reminded me of, it reminded me of MASH. Just something about the way the characters interact and the fact that you can do, you know, drama, you can do comedy, you can do all of it with them in one place at one time. Because there are some, you know, there are a few semi-serious scenes, at least, in the middle of this. And mm-hmm. the way that they're used to punctuate specific scenes on, you know, just something about the way that felt is especially what reminded me of MASH, particularly the little bit at the end with the swerve there and so, Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, that was a good scene. But, yeah. Okay, so in this model, who's Alan Alda?
That is a very good question.
Damn it,
I'm not sure.
Have an answer. No, I mean, I've compared More Than Meets the Eye to a TV series before, and with this, a lot of people are picking up on that kind of pattern with it, because this really is the day-off or goof-off issue between dramatic events. Mm-hmm. And we already know from interviews that, you know, right up through issue 16, it's going to be the big heavy plot stuff going from this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this really is the almost tropey, you know, let's have fun story before everything all falls apart.
Yes.
And I can't really complain about it when it's done well, but it's just like they really are writing this like they're plotting out a TV show.
And clearly more comics should do that.
Yeah, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It like defies the pattern you expect in comic books. But it does it in such a way that, like you said, more comic books should do it. I don't know why more have not picked up on this before.
I could give you plenty of very cynical theories, but I think the fact is that just it's, you know, comic writing has gotten to be a very kind of specialized field, and from which good ideas have a very hard time entering or escaping.
Are here. Nebulon transform into weapons the new target master Autobots need. And the twin Nebulons can also form a super weapon. But the Decepticons have new target masters too.
Each set sold separately.
Each target master comes with two transformable Nebulon figures.
Welcome to Transformers Prime Retro Reviews. I am Amy.
I'm Nick. Hello.
And today we are continuing a retro review of Transformers Prime, A Fangirl's Perspective.
Yes.
Yes. The show broadcasted for the first time a little over 2 years ago, November 2010, right after Thanksgiving Day weekend in the USA on The Hub, Hasbro's very own channel. The production is owned and created by Hasbro. The first episode was broken up into five 22-minute parts, and today we are reviewing Part 3 of Darkness Rising. Mm-hmm. Season 1 is available from Shout Factory or Amazon, and I believe iTunes as well, which we've previously talked about. So please do review our previous reviews right here on RFC or on YouTube at TF Radio Network channel. So that being said, we shall review away.
All right, let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, so Part 3. We open this episode with the kids having individual bonding moments with their perspective bots. Jack is going for a bona fide motorcycle ride with RC without having things shot at him. Bulkhead is going off-roading with Miko. And Raph is playing video games with Bumblebee. Meanwhile, back at the auto base, Ratchet gets attacked by last episode's little surprise. The Dark Energon possessed Claw. Luckily, he's saved by Optimus Prime before anything serious happens to him. So, but not before he pulls out his famous "I needed that" line.
Now, is this the second time that he said that?
Yes.
I believe this is the second time that he said that.
This
I'm
going to
start marking down how many times he actually says that.
Oh, I'll put it in the show notes so that we'll remember. That's number two.
Number two.
Yeah. Okay. And Optimus has a sneaky suspicion that this was caused by Dark Energon. I might have a cold today, but I can still do my Dark Energon. if anything, it sounds even more, you know, Megatron-ish.
Yeah, vicious.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. So meanwhile, Megatron has survived the infusion. He's pretty sure he can hear the very thoughts of Unicron. Again, they said the word Unicron.
If you say Unicron three times, does he show up?
That's a good question.
I mean, it goes with Beetlejuice, and it goes with Candyman, it goes with Bloody Mary. Why not?
Why not, exactly? It's an Earth thing. It's an Earth custom. And before the end of this season, we'll find out just how Earth-centric Unicron really is. Yeah. Okay. So he gives Starscream instructions, and then he flies off. But Starscream tells Soundwave that he thinks, Megatron, he's lost it. But he asks for a global surveillance. And Starscream explains that under the guise that if Prime is still alive, they need to get rid of him to protect their leader. Aww. You know?
Aww.
Starscream is trying so hard, you know, to be that guy. So, in the meantime...
That guy.
Ratchet and Prime hypothesize about Megatron's intent with the Dark Energon! And it involves a very dark outcome of raising the dead to conquer the Earth. Let's see. How many people think of that?
It's a thing. It's a thing. Zombies are a very trendy thing right now.
Yep. So. They are very trendy at the time of this. Yep. And where would we get so many of the dead to imbue with dark energon? But they are interrupted at that point by the return of the rest of the troops and the human kids. Yay!
Hey!
But Prime decides
Most
to take...
Most people are like, oh no, the kids.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's probably me. I'd be like, oh no, they're back.
I don't mind the kids. I really don't. I even enjoy Miko people. So...
Yes, Miko, she's got a few moments in here where I'd say, oh yeah, rock on, girlfriend, rock on. Yep. Okay, so Prime decides to take Ratchet on a reconnaissance mission instead of the seemingly happy troops because, they're around the kids and he just kind of looks at them and goes, actually, Ratchet and I are going to go out. It was great. I loved that part. It was great.
When I first saw this, I thought that was kind of shocking because you've been a Transformer fan for so long. When was the last time you actually saw Ratchet in battle instead of, I guess they did it in animated. He was in battle when he was trying to save RC in animated, but
yeah.
I mean, there's not that many times you see Ratchet actually in battle. So
that's very true. Cool. And I was glad they did that too. It was his reaction to, you know, everybody's like, they come back, they got the humans with them. He's like, actually, it'd be better if I kept them here with these guys to keep them, you know, occupied while we go do other things. I just liked that. It was a really good moment. I was like, Prime in Faced with Children runs away. Sorry. Oh, goodness. So he leaves Archie.
Kids are scary, man.
They are. We ask a lot of questions. You know, we do a lot of strange things, as Heatwave would say. We leave fingerprints on things that, you know, Yeah. Rescue Bots deals with that a little bit more than, you know, Transformers Prime. Prime gets a chance to kind of, you know, run away and not have to deal with the little kids every once in a while. But he leaves RC in charge. Although Miko tells Bulkhead that he's the biggest and he should be in charge. But RC can tell something is up. And after Prime and Ratchet leave, she quickly decides to go on patrol with Bumblebee and leave Bulkhead on kid duty. Go, yeah.
Well, Bulkhead's finally in charge.
Yeah, exactly. He's in charge of three humans.
Still in charge.
Still in charge. You know what? Something tells me that Miko might be more in charge than him at this point.
This is true.
Oh, goodness. So Miko runs band practice on her My Fist, Your Face ballad, which is interrupted by Agent Fowler. Now, I have to say, I really loved the line of this ballad. My Fist, Your Face. I like that.
I really like how she put the band together.
Yeah.
Even though the other two don't have any musical talent, she finds a way to put them into the band.
Yeah.
I love
exactly.
it. See, she's a team player.
She's totally a team player. Yeah. Especially since, you know, just told Jack, just pour some blood on you and just scream really loud. That's great.
I thought that's cool.
She's such a rocker. There you go. Woohoo. Although the kids try to hide when Agent Fowler shows up, he discovers the kids. Oops. Whoops.
Oh, no.
Yep. And Bulkhead makes it pretty clear who's protecting the kids. And so Agent Fowler, very outrageously, he's like, leaves and is not very happy. So, meanwhile, Prime and Ratchet seek out the grounds of old battles past, where Prime reveals that many battles waged over several worlds, including Earth, long ago. At the same time, Fowler is leaving the auto base. He's being watched by the Cons, and Starscream asks that he might be brought to them to brief them on where this base is, because, yeah, if he can find where the base is, he can pound the Autobots. Yes, and take all the glory, because this is Starscream we're talking about, right?
Can I tell you how much I love the Starscream? This episode nailed it. I was like, oh, I love this guy. He's sinister.
Did a great job. I loved it. So we get a nice little fight flight between Fowler and Laserbeak. But alas, human against Cybertronian. Guess who wins? It's got to be the Beak Man.
He's part of Soundwave. Laserbeak is part of Soundwave. And there's one thing that everyone knows about this series. Soundwave doesn't lose.
No, he doesn't. He's always one-upping everybody. Everybody. He's always got Megatron's back. But he's, no one messes with Starscream. Soundwave. That one. You can mess with Starscream all you want. You don't mess with Soundwave.
Soundwave is just creepy, but you gotta love him.
Well, I love the fact that we don't ever hear his voice. And this is the first time where he starts actually just repeating back what everybody else says. And so this is where we hear that for the first time, because I think this is like the first time we were introduced to him, right? Or was he in the last?
No, he was in the last one. First episode.
He was in the first episode.
Doing RC's voice.
Oh, that's right.
Because remember when he replayed RC's voice back, everyone's like, oh my gosh, is Soundwave a female? And all the uproar. And
Yeah. So it was, it doesn't change. We keep getting the same thing. And, now that I think about it, I'm kind of glad. He's like that guy that, he's the wild card that just, you don't mess with him because he's always awesome. Including the fact that he has no voice and it's just creepy, but at the same time, it just totally fits. And I'm really glad that we haven't had a voice. In fact, I think if I remember right, a lot of people, the last time I heard when we were talking about Soundwave, will he ever talk? I think it would be better if he doesn't. I think he just to be who he is, spoil it if they did.
And if he does talk, I hope it's like the absolute last episode. And he gets the absolute last word.
He gets the last
word. Very, very, very last word of the Prime series. I think that would be great. Oh. But that's the only way I want to see it happen.
Wow. Yeah. So, yes, Laserbeak, he takes Fowler in, but not before Fowler is able to hit an emergency signal that Bulkhead picks up at the base. And then he can't find where it's at. So he picks up the beep, and then he's like, okay, Fowler's on, there's a problem, there's an emergency, and then it's gone. And he's like, okay, well, who cares about that, because, Fowler's a jerk anyhow. Jack insists that they do something, and the other two back him. So, hey, what do, Bulkhead, when, all of the kids that you're babysitting just, turn against you?
I know, this is not Bulkhead's day, let's just say that, that's for sure.
No, not at all. So Agent Fowler falls into Starscream's clutches. Raph hacks and finds his location. Miko follows, and the Jack and Raph get Miko follows, and Jack and Raph, they get left behind, man, because that's what happens, man. This starts a new trend for Miko of just kind of disappearing and going where she's not supposed to go.
Like you said, this is the first of many.
Yeah. And we will talk about it more in the future. But for right now, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, gosh, she's going to be that girl.
She's going to be that girl.
That girl. Yeah. She's yep. No one's going to tell her nothing. She's going to do what she wants when she wants. So things get rough and tough when the Viacons start shooting, because that's where they go. They're going to the location of where, you know, Fowler is, and Viacons were evolved, and that's where, you know, that's where Miko is. And so they're shooting involved, and yeah. So Bulkhead is forced to call in the troops at this point. But the idea of leaving anyone in charge only ends up being passed down to the next person or no persons as the boys follow Bulkhead and Miko. RC and Bumblebee call in and find that no one's there. And yeah, things are rapidly spinning out of control here. They're just humans. Come on. I'm giving them a hard time. Yeah. What can I say? But that's kids, yo. That's kids. So we snap between the kids and Bulkhead and Starscream torturing Fowler for info. But then...
That was so sinister.
Yeah.
A cattle prod with Energon.
Yes. Mr. Twisted in the fingers. Ah! Yes.
Oh, I know. His spindling fingers. I just love it.
Yes.
Love it.
He's definitely got his creep on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said it.
Yep. But then before the end of the show, we get back to Prime and Ratchet, who have arrived at the old battlefield. And who do they meet? Who then raises a bunch of bots and a zombie scene ensues? It's Megatron. And that's the end of the episode. A whole lot of stuff setting up for an epic finish soon. As we're right in the middle. Because this is the middle of the five-parter at this point. So, yeah. So, thoughts on this episode?
I really enjoyed this episode because of Starscream's character. Mm-hmm. You get to see him actually be a leader, actually take control, and actually be the ultimate creep factor.
Yeah.
I mean, he played along with Fowler, you know. But then he said, I don't play games, and he got down to business. That cattle prod came out, and you're like, oh, no.
You were just wondering at this point, is this going to be a darker Starscream? Are we going to get that, you know? Yeah.
You know, and I just love, there's a lot of angles in this episode where you could actually get the perspective of how big the Transformers are. That Fowler's on the ground, and he's looking up at Starscream. You're just like, oh, crap. This guy could actually just smash him if he wanted to. You know?
Well, even RC, who's one of the smaller of the bots, you know, you get a couple of where she's looking up at Prime and you're like, golly, he's tall. He's like really, really, really tall. So yeah, I liked that. I liked some of those angles that they had in this
Also in this one, you see actually someone die. A Viacon died in this one. I think this was going to be the first of many, you know?
But it
took me back the first time I saw this. I'm like, did they just kill him? Did they just tear out his spark? What is with Bulkhead, man? He's not the animated Bulkhead.
Isn't that also when he says, you know, Miko, look away. Look away, Miko, look away. It was great. I was like, oh my gosh. He's protecting the little kids. It's great.
I know, but I mean, he's really taking someone's life. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Good stuff.
What about you?
I'd have to say, in terms of how they set up the conflict and how, like, at the end, it's like all of these things going wrong at the same time. Things are going wrong for Bulkhead. They're going wrong for the rest of the bots. Prime, Ratchet, Megatron showing up. It's just setting up all the conflicts. And, you know, at this point I was like, oh my gosh, if this is the way it's going to be every week, I am going to have a fantastic time with this. Because I like lots of conflict. And if this is nothing but conflict, just throwing one thing on top of another thing, on top of another thing. And I thought, wow, did 22 minutes really just go by? Because it doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's like, you know, a 40-minute show. But it's in 22 minutes. So it's like, whoa, did that just happen? It's great. I like it. I'm liking it.
I know. I was rewatching this episode. I was just like, wait, it can't be over with right now. We just barely started. You know, a lot of things happened in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the buildup of the kids and their individual Transformer relationship. You got to see a little bit of the snarkiness from Ratchet. So Ratchet was awesome in this episode too. Okay.
Yep. So. Definitely. You know. Yep. Cool.
Good stuff.
Yep. Absolutely good stuff. I am going to enjoy reviewing this for the next season. Yeah,
I think I am too. You know, I've heard from a couple people that are actually happy to hear this review because we're positive about Prime.
Yeah.
Unlike
yeah.
many people.
Yeah.
But it's a good show. It's fun. It's you just I don't know what people's problem is.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, because I do remember a lot of people saying, well, there's so many characters and how they do this. To be honest, they did it right in the fact that they paired the kids up with a particular, like, Transformer. And it's not just about focusing on one of them. They focus on the team. There's a lot of team aspect in this. And they were really smart about doing that because they hit a lot of demographics in that way. You know, we've got more females in this particular version of Transformers than we have had in the past. Now, granted, you know, there was Transformers Animated and all that. Sari was a girl, but she was, for the most part, for the first two seasons, a human girl. So it was like, okay, that's how they threw the girl version in there. And then, of course, later on we got it. But we didn't have, like, a full cast bot member until now. And then, of course, later on we're going to find out that there's a couple female villains that are really well done. It's like they paired a lot of girls in this. I did not feel like girls are being slighted at all in the least in this show.
And I like that, too. I do.
So I'm really, really happy with
that. I love how they're writing RC.
Yeah.
RC is a good person to look up to for us girls.
Absolutely. She is just awesome. It's like, booyah. Miko's
it.
Like the rocker. It's like, you know what? RC's got a little bit of rock and roll in her too.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she's a strong female role. So, yeah.
Come on. No one dresses like that and not do rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah, she's metal, man. She's heavy metal.
All RC needs is a tramp stamp now.
Well, there are some people out there that would say that she does have a tramp stamp. Just saying.
That's
just saying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right. Well, that is our review of episode 3. And we will see you next review.
All right. Aloha.
Ciao.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Transformers are here. Incredible new headmasters, and the driver of the vehicle becomes the head of the robot. And when the head enters the robot's body, you get a readout of its power.
And our new Decepticon headmasters will give us more brain power than ever. Transform, you monsters, and prepare to attack!
Separately. Rodimus, quick! There's been an accident! The new Autobots are monster bots!
They're monsters, all right!
Decepticons!
Monster bots, attack! I'm glad those monsters are on our side.
The Transformers are more than meets the eye.
And they've even got sparks blasting out of them.
You can't stop the monster bots!
The Transformers
Transformers Monster Bot, sold separately from Hasbro.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So we are back. Way to go, Robin XV, with that review that I haven't listened to yet.
Well, babe. Recorded.
Or that you might not have actually recorded, just just to troll me. So
it is recorded, so that's good to know.
That's great.
Yeah, we just went through about half an hour of comic books.
Wow, that's amazing. So this show is going to be about an hour long. That's fantastic. I love that.
And you'll get to hear me rant about fight scene composition for a good 10 minutes.
It's pretty awesome, actually.
So
into my show and pad it out.
It has to be better. It has to be better than that Micromaster comic, though.
I never read that.
Yeah, me either, so I cannot.
But considering that was a Dreamwave comic, I'm just going to make a blanket statement of yes.
That was the most convoluted, terrible thing I've ever tried to read.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
It was awful. So, yeah, any Transformers comic is better than that. Jose Delbo is better than that.
I'm just waiting for the day when JD decides to do a comic review or something, and he talks just like the Krang from the new Ninja Turtles cartoon.
I haven't heard Krang from the cartoon, so.
Oh, it's bad. It will make you long for death if you have to listen to it more than a minute or two.
Yeah, I have to say this. You know, as much as I complain about Bumblebee, the Ninja Turtle toy line, it's like 10-1 packed turtles to like everything else.
So apparently you don't remember the original Ninja Turtle toy line that well.
I do not. But
it's accurate to this.
I was looking at this weekend, and there's already new turtles out there, like slime spewing or something, or
yeah,
or you know, tub girl action, or I don't know what they're called. But
they are definitely keeping to the original the concept of what turtles were.
Now, don't get me wrong, because the four turtles are nice toys. I really like them. I think they're great. But,
no more Star Trek ones, though, I don't guess, right?
We don't have any Morphin Turtles or like Star Trek Turtles yet, but I would probably pick up Star Trek Turtles if we could get those.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that. No. But
I will say this: I was working at K&K Toys at the time, long before it became KB. When Turtles hit,
so do some calculations, folks. It was the previous name of a toy company that's been dead for 10 years. So figure that out.
Original Ninja Turtles, 1980s. There you go.
We opened the case and we stood back and got the hell out of the way. These new turtles are selling just about as good as the old ones.
Yeah,
and,
they really are.
And that's great.
So, I mean,
that really is great. I can't complain. Except for the fact that there's, like, no characters that's been released besides the Turtles that I really want.
But that also shows that, hey, Playmates, Playmates of all people, they're getting the product out to the stores when the shelves are empty and people are buying the toys.
Well, I mean, you have to look at this from Playmates' perspective, which is that, okay, we're about to die, so we can either get this stuff out there as fast as possible, or we can go and start working at McDonald's.
They should maybe talk to BlackBerry, because
the Z10 looks great.
So just wait till March. And
hey, I do want to mention real quick before we wrap up. I did find half of the new Creo Microchange figures, and I am in love with Hook. I love Hook so much. He is pretty great. The others are okay, but Hook is love.
I must be the only person who has no desire to collect any of these Freons.
Yes, I think you are.
Oh my God, what the hell is wrong?
I just don't.
You just don't love life? You just don't enjoy enjoyment? You just don't like pleasurable things?
We know that already. I'm sorry. Inferno is pretty nice, too.
Yeah, apparently I don't like life that much. I listen to Fanboy Versus.
Oh, man.
Oh, burn. Okay.
Man.
Okay. So if you're not already, make sure to tune in live each week for Radio Free Cybertron. We start around – the show actually starts about 8:30 Eastern time. Lately I've been trying to start streaming around 8. And people are already in the chat by 7:30 or earlier. It's really fun. We do our best to interact with the chat room during the show. The chat room adds information. They'll break news. You know, if I might mod you so you can kick tracks. There's lots of fun stuff. Lots of fun stuff going on.
There's like a drug raffle to see who gets to be the mod to get yeah. tracks.
So, but it's really a blast. We have a great active chat room. It's the chat room that I've always wanted us to have, and we finally have it, and I love it. I love you guys. But so make sure to tune in live. And after we do a Google Plus Hangout that Diecast manages, and if I have time, I try to put that content in the show or some of it. I haven't the last 2 weeks because I've been really busy. But it's really fun. So if you're not already, circle us on Google Plus, and you can do that by going to tfradio.net/G+. That will take you directly to our Google Plus page. Just circle us. We'll notify you when we have a hangout. And just come on in and chat. It's fun. No judging. Just wear clothes. And please. We're cool. Please. Please.
Dress up. Please.
Yeah.
Dressing up means wear a shirt and pants.
Ding! Point for XP. Very nice.
But it's totally fun. So by the time that you probably hear this, we probably already recorded our show, our live stream around Fair.
This show goes up. We'll have done the live stream. In fact, it's probably the same day as the next show that we're recording.
But,
so,
but
listen to the live show.
No. But so if you're listening to this, if it's after the weekend, go to tfradio.net and download our coverage. We always have a blast recording this. It's a lot of fun. It's just a great chance to hang out and share our passion or our frustration sometimes. Around Transformers, and there's always a lot of good information. So at tfradio.net, we will have that posted. And, of course, at tformers.com.
I think we had Timey in a robe last year, so that was fun.
We did!
Yeah.
So,
Timey in a robe.
So that was a thing.
That was a thing. Okay, so I guess that will pretty much do it. For RFC for this week. If you're watching live, go ahead and go to G+ in a minute or two. Diecast will go ahead and start that hangout. And guys, feel free to hang around for that. XV's already said no. So
Rob's computer will not cooperate.
So that means that Don has to.
Well, I don't know, guys. With mother computer bricked. I'm not going to risk this one screwing up. This is all I have right now.
Okay, so just note that Google Plus and hanging out will not brick your computer. Don, just...
That's not why that happened. It's just...
No, I'm just saying I don't want to do anything. Yeah, Don
is just afraid of technology. It's okay. You know, he
comes with age.
He rides a bicycle to work. It's okay.
Right.
He doesn't trust cars.
If I rode a bicycle to work 13 miles each way, I wouldn't look like this.
It's one of those bicycles with a big wheel, too.
Maybe that's an idea, though, Don. Like, you could try that. But you got to get the really short, like, bicycle shorts, though. That would be bomb.
Okay, Jenny, one night driving home, I counted 39 deer in a 13-mile radius.
So if you hit a deer in a bicycle, though, that's, like, extra points. I mean,
and just think that. Yeah. I think... For every four deer, there's a tiger. So think about how many tigers there were hiding in the grass that you didn't even see.
So wasn't that a short story? You know, the deer, the tiger.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I thought it was I the tiger.
Well, that was the song based on the short story.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so that'll do it for this week. We will be back next week. We apologize and thank you very much for listening. We'll see you later.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.